Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Father, in the name of Jesus, today, Lord, we're looking from the standpoint again at the matters of the heart that would reflect upon those times in our life when we find it difficult. We find it even hard for us to really be vulnerable to the place where we're just surrendering all of our heart, where we give it to you, unabated, unabandoned, Lord God, that we trust you with the very inner parts of us. Today, Lord, you're going to do heart surgery on many of us. Lord, you've done it on me this week, and so I want to just pass on the impartation of blessing to others that we can find out what's really inside. And Lord, that we can be changed to be just like you. So Lord, let your Holy Spirit come, let your anointing come, let people be changed, let salvation come, let restoration come, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. You know, one of the most difficult things to navigate for me, perhaps for you as well, is as we mature, is when and to whom it is safe to give your heart away, making ourselves vulnerable to them with no guaranteed outcome. I don't know if you've ever had a broken heart. I have. Amen. When you gave, and of course, you know, at a young age, you know, they call it puppy love. Well, I know this puppy got stepped on. And I can tell you, I can give you the story like it was yesterday. I was 18 years old. I was going to Portland State University. There was this gal I was in love with, and she lived in Longview, Washington. That was an experience anyway. But I drove, we were talking, this, this, and everything. I thought everything was great until I went up to Longview, Washington one day, and she wasn't home. And her friend that lived next door, she says, I think she's over at John Malone's house. Ooh, Jesus. And like some crazy person, I went to John's house. Yes, I did. You're not feeling my pain. Because I needed to know. But after I found out, my heart was broke. I won't give you all the other details because I'm saved today. But I had given a part of me. And you know, it's one of those type of things when it happens to you and you find yourself heartbroken, it's a tough thing. Let me just get right into the questions for you today, so maybe this will be cathartic for you. Do you consider yourself a survivor of issues that have left your heart devastated from having shared your heart with someone who betrayed you? And you know, I don't have to go much further than that, because some people here are survivors from divorce. They're survivors from a horrible relationship. Or there's just the time that you just really don't know what happened, but somehow you're just making it through. Let me go on to number two. Have you given full disclosure to Jesus of the desires in your heart? And I want to tell you why that's a difficult thing to say. Because on the level where you've been kind of brokenhearted with other folks, some of you feel that Jesus is going to do you the same way. So you're afraid to tell him really what's in your heart, because it's probably not going to happen. He probably won't give it to you. Disappointment is one of those things that none of us really do very well. But if I get to the third aspect of this, how about this? Have you intentionally given false signals that would lead people to believe that your heart is truly with them when it really is not? It's a learned behavior. It's a protection thing that you have, because you told yourself, I'll never, ever be hurt like that again. We're going to get into a story in a little bit about a man who was kind of freelance with his heart and different things. But let me go to the first part of this. God has fashioned you with purpose and destiny in mind. We're going to go into Judges chapter 13, verses 2 through 5. It's kind of the beginning of the story we're going to talk a little bit more about. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Go on to the next couple of verses, please. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Wow, that's a mouthful. You talk about a person with destiny, you're talking about a person with purpose. But I want to let you know that the description on your life is really no different from that. Maybe you weren't from a parentage that was barren, but there's no less purpose on your life that God has intended for you to accomplish than perhaps on Samson's life, which we're going to discover in a little bit. But we must be confidently aware that God knows the circumstances on every level of our existence. You are not some random sampling of two lives coming together or the unification of two lives coming together. God has purpose for everybody in this room. There are no accidents in this room. Everyone has value. Everyone has purpose and direction. And I want to encourage you today, if you've gone through a devastating time, if that's not the end, it's just the beginning of you realizing that God always has something good in store for you. Well, even when our life seems barren, God still has purpose. It's interesting how the story starts out. This couple, they're barren, but they don't realize that God's about to bless them in such a way that it really affect a whole nation of people. And so we must not allow circumstances to affect the condition of our heart, because some of us are pretty locked up in our hearts. We've kind of closed ourselves off because we just don't want any more disappointment. I'm not going to get hurt anymore. And some of you say that when you go, no, I'm just not going to get hurt anymore. Well, I'm here to open up your heart, because God's not here to hurt you. He's here to heal you. A mere word from the Lord can instantly change our life's direction. Well, each one of us is custom made by the hand of God. I think you believe that. But the word of God will come to us and guide us into all truth. And so this little prophetic word, I can't go through all of it because we don't have time for it. But, you know, he gets this word and he goes and tells his wife. And then pretty soon, God comes through with the prophecy. And the birth of Samson was ordained by God with a divine purpose in mind. You were birthed into this world. God has a divine purpose in mind for you. And I would make a recommendation to you. Don't leave here till you fulfill it. I want to speak over some of you that are sitting in this room today, that God is going to speak directly into your spirit, and all of a sudden it will come illuminated once again, a revival of what your purpose is. I want you to seize onto it and don't let go until you're willing to fulfill what God's put in you. Amen. This is time for you to stop sidelining and stop making up excuses. Well, as soon as the kids are gone, kids have grandbabies by the time you get it together. Well, the Holy Spirit is our guide to keep us in sync with God's purpose. Now, we must choose to maintain our purpose and anointing with the obedience from the heart, from our heart. That means the anointing of God is bestowed upon people without them being pre-qualified. I need to tell you about the anointing of God. The anointing will always be His, but He loans it to you. And some of us, and I'm thinking, that person's anointed? What a piece of work. Really? Well, you're not exactly the most fashionable person on earth. But I want to let you know that God, because of His love for us, will entrust us with precious gifts, hoping that we will rise up to the level of what He's put within us. God doesn't work down, He works up. God doesn't want you to go down, Lord. He wants you to rise up to those places with Him, to be seated in heavenly places with Him. So a mere word from the Lord can instantly change our life into God's purpose. Well, yeah, the deal is God will often empower people who have heart issues that need to be resolved. And boy, is Samson going to qualify for that? We must learn to respond from what we know in our heart to be right. Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. From this day forward, I'm going to serve notice on you to stop complaining. What? What? Stop complaining. Complaining, all it does, it puts you on that particular flow. And by the way, you can't do anything about anything anyway. But complaining puts you in the realm where you almost think that if you complain long enough, God's going to change it. No, it's you pray, not complain. God answers prayer, not complaints. Amen. Not whining. Okay, this is not fair. Everyone gets to do it and I don't. And you just don't love me. Really? Yeah, it's going to get rough. Our heart must rely upon the word for divine discipline and instruction in righteousness. I said that word, the D word. Discipline. Discipline, when it's happening to you, don't seem that good. My daddy, bless his heart. Remember that phrase? You use that to sanctify things. Bless his heart. For what I'm about to say. He believed in discipline. Now, he got a little heavy-handed at times, I would have to admit. But I'll tell you what, there are things that I learned through that discipline that helped me be the man I am today. Amen. If I was left to myself, I would be a gangster. Amen. Mafia. Hey, I was raised in an Italian neighborhood with the Sirianis, the Amatos, and this type of thing. And boy, I tell you, I've been out there with the best of them. You'd never get garbage collected from your house. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm going to leave it alone. Sue knows what I'm talking about. Help me. She knows. She knows. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is that God is working something out in you. Our flesh will try to overrule sound judgment and wisdom. And here we're going to enter the pages of life to Samson in Judges chapter 14, verses 2 through 4. We must guard our hearts from wandering from God's purpose. Here we go. Judges. This is Samson speaking here. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman from Timnah, the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. I'll tell you what, one of my kids told me that I would backhand him from here to Salem. Get me what? Get you who for what? You gonna say that to me? Oh, it goes further. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said to his father, get her from me, for she pleases me well. That's a death threat right there. You gonna tell me to? Well, anyway, I gotta go on. But his father and mother, now this is a really interesting scripture, did not know that it was of the Lord that he was speaking in an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. I gotta reframe this for you, because some of you may not get the last part of this message, because I know how you kind of go fade in and out. Please, I got you. Even in Samson's rebellion and on his worst day, God still had it under control. Even when you are stupid and making unreasonable demands and God allows you to get what you're going to get, God has not lost control. Oh, you gonna go through some stuff? Yes, you are. That little honey cup that you wanted? Yeah, she gonna show you some. Oh, yeah. Well, here's the deal. Samson had found an identity in something that pleased him rather than something that pleased the Lord. Now, let's stop for a moment. And just you look inside of you. Don't look at anybody else. Found something that pleases you that you know right now does not please God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody's looking into you right now. But I want to tell you, this will be the day for you to let go of that so you can be totally surrendered to God. Your heart can be purified today. Especially when you know it's not pleasing to God. Samson says, yeah, she looks good to me. Yeah, I know she's a Philistine, but I want her and go get her for me. In spite of his poor choice, the Spirit of the Lord did not depart from Samson. Judges chapter 14, verses 15 through 20. This is a part of the grace people, the grace part. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Go on to the next verse, please. Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You don't love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I'm not explaining it to my father or my mother. Should I explain it to you? Next verse, please. Now she wept on him for 7 days while they feasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so much. Then she explained it to the riddle to the sons of her people. Hello there, you have a breaking point. Why can't I have it? Why? I want to know why. Tell me why. Why? And some of you are that way with your knothead kids. They will break you down and say, okay, go ahead and do it. I don't care. I don't care. Leave me alone. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. It's in the Bible. Heifer. You not plow with my heifer. I get to say it today. Help us, Jesus. But the point of this, Sam, I got to tell you something. That is your heifer that you invited into your life that you said she spent 7 days breaking you down. You told her and she told them, do not blame her. It's on you. I want to say something to those of you who feel like you just couldn't help yourself when you got involved in whatever it was. Well, if they hadn't said this or if they hadn't done that or this type of thing, stop it. The decision is yours. You will stand before God, before the judgment seat of Christ, and give an account for every deed done in your body, and he's not going to ask Fred why you did it. Settled? Good, let's move on. So, the amazing thing about this is that, you know, we got down to see, oh, let's go down a couple more verses. This gets interesting. So, verse 19 and 20, this... And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men and took their apparel and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. Boy, isn't that ready made for TV movie? Oh, this is bad. This is really bad. All of this drama is taking place in the life of a person who has the anointing of God on his life, whose his plan is to be able to deliver Israel, to deliver the people of Israel, and he's playing around with heifers. I get to say it again. But his But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man. In other words, he kicked her to the curb. And he said, well, Samson's done with her, so this lady who he had this time with, who was his wife, sent her back home, and her father gave her to someone else. There's so many intricacies of this whole story. I'll never touch them all, but I will tell you this much. The wife of his dreams became the wife of his nightmare. And some of the things that you thought was going to be the dream relationship will be your nightmare. So, and his life from this point began to spiral downward, and his heart at this particular point is really taking a toll on him in an interesting way. Well, we must be careful not to allow our gifting to displace our obedience to the Lord. That means our heart can be estranged from truth and righteousness. And Samson allowed the desires of his flesh to overrule the calling of his life. And I believe with all of my heart that you folks are called. But the thing about it is, but you can let your emotions overrule what God has called you to do. His heart was seeking fulfillment that could only come from allowing his heart to be cleansed from his fleshly desires, and lies and deception will enter the heart of those who choose to entertain a heart of the big C word, compromise. I'm going to deal with you folks. I'll be over them in a minute. You don't have to say it out loud, but I'll ask you this question. When was the last time you compromised your convictions to get what you want? Hold on. When was the last time you compromised your convictions knowing that it would cause something devastating to happen in someone else's life? Compromise doesn't prove anything, but it breeds all types of sin and degradation in people's lives. Well, it'll displace some things. But there's some things about Samson that once his weakness is discovered, only a matter of time until he'll be defeated because of compromise that's already entered into his heart. Because he's already flirted with this time this woman just broke him down after you know, it took 7 days. But Samson chose to believe that his secret was safe, and he could keep his heart from succumbing to the temptations of Delilah. Here's what's interesting. It's through his whole entire life, it didn't have to change the game plan. Just bring another woman. And before he gets up with Delilah, he goes to a harlot. Then along comes Delilah. Because he gave up on marriage. Oh, marriage, we don't need that. Just find you somebody. Lay up there with him, that's what you got. That's what I said it, lay up there with him. Because that's what some of y'all do, just lay it up there with him, lay up with anybody. It's going to be a rough one, y'all. It's going to be rough. Let me skip on to this because I got to finish this today. We cannot pretend to love God without giving him our whole heart. Can I get an amen? Chapter 16 is going to reveal a lot of things about Samson, and I hope that you will just really pay close attention to this, and then I believe that God's going to redeem this whole time together, that no one will leave here feeling defeated, but rather they'll leave here with the knowing that God is going to do great things with them. Well, we must be, chapter 16, verse 15. Then she said to him, "How can you say you love me when your heart is not with me?" Let's stop right there. You know, and I know, when someone's heart is not with us. Amen. Stop pretending. You can buy her everything, you know, that they've got in, you know, whatever jewelry store you want to go. You can go to Zales if they're still around. I don't know where they're around or not. but by all the jewels and this other type of thing, to try to make her heart be with you, but her heart may still not be with you. And the thing about it is, but you're trying to make them be something that they can't be. So she says this, and she says, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. Now, what she's done, and to summarize the story, because everybody doesn't know the story of Samson and Delilah. But Samson, as you realize, we read in the text, that the secret to his strength is in his hair. And three times before that, he kind of plays with the idea. He says, well, if you, you know, braid my hair, it'll, you know, lessen my strength. If you do such and such and such and such, it'll not happen, blah, blah, blah. And so this has happened three times. And so he's flirting with the real desire, because remember it says, if you cut your hair, your strength is gone. Many of us have teetered on the edge of exposure, thinking that, oh, it's no big deal. You know, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know it's right on the edge, but it's okay. Get off the edge. He said, well, I'm kind of on the fence with it. The devil owns the fence, okay? And your feet ought to be tore up from the pickets, but that's another story. When we are willing to disclose what is truly in our heart, we can have fellowship with Jesus that we've always wanted. Remember, one of the things we started off with today is, have you really had that conversation or disclosure with the Lord of what's really, truly in your heart? I mean, the things you really want. Because I'll tell you right now, God already knows it, but you got to confess it. There's nothing he doesn't know. But when we really are willing to trust God and saying, God, this is really what I'm all about. This is really my heart's desire. I want to eradicate fear, doubt, disappointment, all the things that will keep you from saying, Jesus, this is really, really what I want. But I hope for your sake, the very first thing that you want more than anything else is to have a closer relationship with him. Because everything else falls underneath that. Amen. Everything. Amen. Well, let's finish this. Seeking God with your whole heart is a relentless pursuit of his will without wavering. Wholehearted pursuit of God is the focus of desiring to be with him no matter what. What does that mean? What shall separate us from the love of God? And it goes through a whole list of different things that will separate us from the love of God. Now, I didn't say what will separate you from the love of church. That's not it. Because you can come to church all day long and it will not change you. Because you'll meet your friends and hang out with them and just go to our little group thing. We'll have coffee and blah, blah, blah. That's not what it's all about. But it's having a real connection with Jesus. The wholehearted pursuit of God is focusing on desiring to be with him no matter what. Well, we will discover our heart when, with undistracted devotion. What does undistracted mean? It means you're not on your cell phone and got your Bible open at the same time. It means not being on your cell phone. We will discover his heart when we value it more than anything else. I know, I'm kind of a old-fashioned guy. One of these days, I may preach from an iPad. I tried it for about 3 weeks and got frustrated. I've had this Bible so long, and you think I worship it. I don't worship the Bible, but I'm so familiar. I know where stuff is. You know what I mean? I know I can go right on to the page. So leave my Bible alone. But I love being in the Word of God, and I love just being immersed in there. It's just power to my soul. One of the most treasured things that I have. And sometimes I'll forget where I leave it here in church, and I will search this church over till I find my Bible. I got a brand new one sitting on my desk. Haven't cracked the pages. There's something about anybody know what I'm talking about? You understand what I mean. Oh, praise God. Well, here's the deal. We will discover his heart when we refuse to leave him alone. Well, when Samson revealed his heart, he was unaware of what had happened. And this is what's really interesting, is that through this whole process, let's get to that place back there where he begins to tell her what's going on. Go back to the scripture there. Let's see. Okay. Verse 19. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. Let's leave it right there for a moment. Before that, it talks about the fact he matter of fact, back it up to the verses so they can actually see that. Back it up to, I think it's where he actually tells her, I'm sorry. Okay, verse 17. That he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb, and I have, if I am shaven, my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines and said, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. Here's a question. Who have you told all your heart to? I mean, to the point where it will basically dismiss you from a relationship with God and make you vulnerable to the attack of the enemy where it will take you down. Are you saying there's only things between me and God? If I tell someone it's going to be like a curse on me? No, I'm not trying to make something magic out of this. But when you expose a part of you that was a covenant between you and God, God says, as long as this is in place, you're empowered to do the things I've called you to do, and all of a sudden you flippantly give this away to someone who wants to extract it from you, and the end is not going to be good, do you expect that to turn out good? Well, here we go. So she calls the Lord's Philistines, and the Philistines came, and Delilah said, when Delilah saw that, he told all of his heart, come upon him once more. He told me all of his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Go on to the next couple of verses, please. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees, called for a man. He shaved off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. But he said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Whoa! Listen to me carefully. There are people in this room right now who think they're okay with God, and God left you a long time ago because you're just going through the motions. What does that mean? Does it mean that it's an indictment that I don't believe that you have a genuine relationship with Jesus? No, it's because of the company or the things that you've done, and you've assumed everything's okay. You haven't even noticed that you've been the enemy's camp and your hair. I mean, how do you know? If your hair had been growing all your life, I think I would know if somebody gave me a haircut. But you know what the key of that whole thing is? He didn't believe what he was told. He believed that the strength that he had was of himself and had nothing to do with his hair being cut off. He says, I'm going to do just like I've done all before. This little thing that God says about cutting my hair, really, that's probably some myth as far as it's concerned. I'm the man, I've got all this strength. And he found out they whooped him all day long. Oh. Well, we got to summarize this real quickly because it's going to be interesting as you see what God does. The final confession of Samson's heart brought his purpose back to him, back into focus. Judges chapter 16, verses 28 through 30. This is good. This is really good. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. Oh, God, that I may, with one blow, take revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Let me stop right there. The Philistines did you a favor, Samson, because them two eyes is what getting you in trouble all along. They put them puppies out. You wouldn't be looking for anybody else from here on out. The Bible says if your part of your body offends you, cut it off. And literally says, you know, there's some things that we say, well, I just can't live without such and such. God needs some things he will cut off from your life to save your life. Amen. There are things you can't do anymore, and you don't need to do them anymore because that's the reason why you're so pitiful. Well, so he wanted to get avenged. Go down the last few verses, and we're going to do this thing. Then Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and one on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. God can redeem some of the craziest things we've ever done if we'll turn our heart totally back to him. Worship team, you come back up here. Let me make the last few little comments. There's one scripture in Judges chapter 16, 22. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. You know what that says to me? That even on the worst things that have happened in your life, God has not given up on you. Amen. Your hair will grow again, or whatever it is, where your strength comes from, will come again. God is a faithful God. And you know, and if we are willing to repent of the things that we've done, he will come to us again, even though we don't deserve it, and your hair will grow again. The things that we thought that were just wasted, God will give us an opportunity to be restored. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what more can I say, for the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and Jephthah. Why would he be numbered with those people who had faith that pleased the Lord? Because he doesn't deserve it. Well, none of us do. All of us have done things and committed sins worthy of hell. But God has chosen to forgive us. Every head bowed, every eye closed, everybody. Everybody. There are at least four people that walk through these doors today that God has been speaking to through this entire message, and he's told you this is the day for you to make a change. How do I know that? Holy Spirit was just teaching me during that time that we're saying this, when we're using all this crazy stuff's happening to Samson. You're saying, you know, that happened to me. I wonder if God will forgive me. And the real reality is, yes, he will. But you have to seek him with your whole heart. That's without excuses, without alibis of saying, well, you know, it really wasn't me. But yes, it was. And I believe that God is going to do some amazing things today in the hearts of people. I'm going to pray, and then at the end of my prayer, I'm going to give an opportunity for those who are really coming to get themselves realigned with Jesus. And some of you, for the very first time, today is a day for you to turn your life completely over to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, Samson was a gifted man. He had all these things going for him. He had all these different issues that he allowed get in his life. The strength that he had with when he was under your anointing somehow got into the way he thought, his whole thought process, and he thought for some reason that was of him, and he shook himself at a time when he should have been on his knees asking for forgiveness. But today, Lord, I ask you on behalf of people that are sitting in this room right now that know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they need your presence in their life to turn them, turn their hearts to you. God, I pray in Jesus' name that men and women that are in this place that need to get right with you, those who have strayed away from you, would say, you know, Pastor, today I see. Maybe I'm not exactly like Samson, but I've realized that I've told things in my heart that have essentially put me as a captive of the enemy. But I believe that God can reestablish that covenant with my life, that my hair will grow again, and that today I can stand and I can do more in my life ahead of me than I did in the life that's behind me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if Jesus is speaking to you about turning your life really over to him, I want you to lift your hand right now in Jesus' name and let God do that in your life. Do it right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.